Today on More to Life, earthquake! Relationships on shaky ground, conflict got you quaking. We'll help you overcome the aftershocks and restore peace. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, earthquake. We're talking about how relationships can get shaken up by conflict. And if conflict has got you quaking, we're going to help you overcome those aftershocks and restore some peace and stability to those relationships. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
It can be so difficult. And this is any relationship. You know, it's hard to get the kids on the bus in the morning without having some kind of conflict. When that happens repeatedly, it's eroding your joy as a parent. We can be arguing with our parents, our siblings, even people we consider to be friends at this point. Everybody has their own areas of sensitivity, their own areas where if you just skirt too close to it, you're going to end up in some kind of conflict. We actually share a lot of the same values with our family members. But in the last month or so, I've let everybody know, over the holidays, we're not discussing politics. We're not doing, like, I gave them a list. Like, we're just not. Because no matter where you are in your belief system on anything, sometimes we can trip over each other, and then all of a sudden, whammo, everything feels shaken. You don't feel like you're in a good, safe place with people. People are yelling at each other or holding a grudge about something, or there's just that tension. Let's take some time today to talk about those situations, talk about those people, and come to some grace-filled, practical ways that you can find some peace with them and move away from that shakenness to a good, holy stability in your relationship. If that sounds like somebody you know or a situation you are in, well, give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Call up and share. Are you experiencing conflict, disagreements, or tension between you and someone you care about, whoever it is, whether that's your spouse, younger or adult kids, family member, friend, parents, in-laws, you name it. If you find yourself tiptoeing around somebody so as not to provoke them, or if conflict tends to bring out the worst in you, or maybe you're looking for ways to resolve a disagreement you're having or reconcile with someone who's estranged from you.
Or maybe there's somebody who's constantly trying to provoke you.
Mm.
You know, and you're thinking, no matter what I do, no matter how nice I am, no matter how welcoming I am, they will just go at me for something just to get the upper hand, just to feel powerful. And I've known so many people like that. And it really lets us... It puts us in a place where we feel disempowered and angry and not knowing how to handle it. Let's figure that all out today, because it really isn't a place where we want to be, is it?
Well, no, it's not. And you know what? As we're going to talk about in a second, it's not just a good thing to do. It's actually a spiritual exercise, learning how to resolve conflict effectively. We'll unpack that in just a minute. But 877 573-7825 is the number to call with your questions about resolving conflict in any relationship that you are involved in. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you might say to yourself, well, what is some theology have to tell me about resolving conflict effectively?
And I really don't have time to sit through a church document to figure out how to deal with my brother-in-law, Pop.
Well, exactly. But here's the thing. So when St. John Paul was Pope, he asked a really big question. Namely, he said, essentially, if we looked at everything that God's given us, right, creation, scripture, salvation, history, you name it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for living a happy, holy life and having healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we call the theology of the body.
The theology of the body reminds us that our relationships are meant to be icons of God's love, a visible sign of the communion he desires with each one of us. Now, learning how to handle conflict well, as Greg was saying, isn't just a good thing to do, although it is a good thing to do. It is actually that spiritual exercise you were talking about.
Well, right. So the theology of the body helps us see that resolving conflict is really about cooperating with grace to heal the damage that sin does to our relationships. You know, every disagreement, every division weakens the body of Christ, what St. John Paul called the civilization of love, in which we're all called to live. And when we work to repair those breaks, we're doing holy work. We're helping God's kingdom come a little bit more fully into being.
Christians need to resist the temptation to either avoid conflict altogether, so many of us love to do that, or to let it explode and just bring out the worst in us. Both of those responses prevent love from flourishing and the body of Christ from healing. The Christian is called to respond to conflicts in a way that ideally bears good fruit all around.
Right. So our goal in conflict, especially with the people we care about, isn't to win, but to respond in a way that brings out the best in everyone and serves everyone. That's what St. John Paul meant by learning to love responsibly. We're called to respond to difficulties in a loving manner that works for the ultimate good of everybody involved, including the relationship itself.
So when we deal with conflict in this way, we're not just patching things up. We're letting God use that moment of tension to help each person grow in virtue and ultimately be more capable of building his kingdom together. Now, that is a beautiful thing, and it is the ideal. But that doesn't mean it's not difficult. And if you're saying, well, I'm willing, but you don't know this person that I'm dealing with, and they'll never relent, and they'll never work with me, and they're always going to be. And I feel you. I really do. It is hard with some people in particular, and it's a little scary in all of those situations. And if we were saying if the object of the whole thing isn't to win, but they still want to win, then where does that leave us? Well, let's untie some of these knots with you today and help you find grace-filled answers so that you can have that relationship that you want to have instead of the conflict-ridden one. Give us a call on More to Life today at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Whether you're striving with your spouse, your younger or adult kids, a family member, a parent, a friend, somebody in the parish, you name it, we want to help you resolve those conflicts on our show titled Earthquake, as we talk about those times when conflict gets our relationships on shaky ground. Let us help you overcome the aftershocks and restore peace and stability. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we bring to you those relationships where we are in conflict with somebody we care about. Help us to know how to avoid those twin temptations of either just tiptoeing around the conflict or letting that conflict bring out the worst in us, and instead help us to know how to respond in ways that work for our good, work for the good of the other person, and ultimately work for the good of the relationship, too. Help us to remember that our goal here isn't to just keep a lid on things or smooth things over, but really to be our best, to invite the other person to be their best, so that we can work together to heal the damage that sin tries to do or even does to all of our relationships, wounding your body. Help us to cooperate with your grace to heal that damage so that even through conflict, we're able to build your kingdom and cooperate with your grace to build that civilization of love your servant St. John Paul told us is both our privilege and destiny. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Earthquake, as we talk about those times when we feel like our relationships are on shaky ground because of the conflicts that we have with that person. So if you're struggling with some conflicts, disagreements, or tension between you and someone you care about, let us walk you through the steps of bringing healing to those situations. 877-573-7825. You can also shoot us your emails to questions@moretoliferadio.com.
Which Aaron, who is listening to EWTN Radio in Toledo, Ohio, did. He says, "Hi, Dr. Greg and Lisa. I am getting more aggravated by the day, and I can feel the fact that I'm starting to project a negative attitude toward my son. I'm a dad of four, and I've been really struggling with my oldest son, who is 14. He used to love going to church. He was even an altar server for several years, and he seemed to really enjoy it until about a year ago, when he started refusing to be put on the schedule. Every Sunday turns into an argument about going to Mass with the family. I've made it clear that this is an important part of who we are, and I expect him to come, but he acts like it's a huge burden. He doesn't make a scene when we pray before meals, but he doesn't really participate either. It's like he's just checking out spiritually. A friend told me that I should stop making him go to Mass, but that just doesn't seem to sit right with me. I don't want to push him away from the faith, but I also don't want to give up on leading him spiritually. How can I help him work through this bad attitude toward Mass and hopefully reconnect him with his faith and our family? And how do I control my anger about this so that I don't push him away further?" That's Aaron listening in Toledo.
All right, Aaron, thank you so much for the question. And I know that this is a really common problem that a lot of parents deal with, so I appreciate you having the courage to write in with it, because I know that there are going to be a lot of listeners who benefit from your experience. So I totally get what you're saying, and it is frustrating whenever, you know, we worked so hard to raise our kids in the faith, and then they start pushing back. I would not interpret this, though, as a rejection or as resistance or as defiance in any way. I realize it comes off that way. But kids evolve through different stages of faith, and you're really describing a pretty common challenge that happens when kids move from the, say, childhood and middle school stage of faith into the more adolescent stage of faith. You know, in the school-age kids, like, you know, grade school-age kids, tend to be in what we might call the stories and structure stage of faith. They like learning how grown-ups behave and like kind of doing the things that grown-ups do. They like learning the way life works and learning, you know, what the rules are and how to color in the lines, essentially. As they get into adolescence, though, they move into what you might call the relationship stage of faith, where they're trying to figure out their relationship to the world, their relationship to peers, their relationship with themselves. And a lot of times, kids at that age don't know how faith can support them in that. In fact, they see faith being an obstacle to a lot of those relationships, because suddenly they run into, well, you shouldn't hang out with that person because they do this, or you shouldn't do those things because that's a bad influence. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm saying that if we're not careful, that the young adolescent can start to see faith as an obstacle to the number one developmental goal they're trying to achieve, which is find their place in the world and build healthy relationships. And unless we can help our kids figure that out, that's when faith stops being relevant to them. And that's why so many kids at this age end up losing their faith and just going through the motions until they can finally leave the house. And then we think it's college that did it, but really they've been spiritual zombies for 10 years up until that point.
Yeah, so the fact that you're seeing it now, Aaron, and he's in your house, that's good, because that gives you a real chance to connect with him and work through this together.
Now, I want to encourage you to continue to require him to go, and here's why. Okay, like if you have a problem with somebody and you just avoid seeing that person, that doesn't help you confront the issue and deal with it, right? Like if you had a problem with your mom and you just stopped going to family dinner on the weekend, I know that a lot of families do that, but you just for example, right? Then you wouldn't ever have a chance to see mom and work through it. Well, the same thing is true here. Your son has a problem with God and with the church. And unless he's going there, that's not going to bring that to the surface and deal with it. But it's not enough to just take him to church and require him to go.
And it's about really, first of all, Aaron, I'm glad you gave us this message, but you don't say why. So you really need to start talking to him about, calm down. You need to calm down, Aaron, enough to be able to say, how am I not connecting with my son on this? I don't even know why he's feeling this way. I don't know what the motivation is. And have time where you just take him out, the two of you. You're not grilling him, but you're saying, hey, I'm really noticing that this is going on. I'd love to know what's going on inside of you. Why is this happening? What can I help you with? Let's talk through this together.
And first he might say, I don't know.
Yeah,
and if he does
may.
Push back on this, it's okay. Give him some space and just sort of throw some things out there. You're like, when did you notice that you stopped enjoying church? What was going on around that time? When you think about God, what do you think about him? Don't ask the why questions so much as ask questions about his relationship with God, or how he sees God, or how he sees religion affecting his life and his friendships. Get into understanding what's going on and how the church and God stopped being relevant to him at about a year ago, you say. And then start to try to figure out how you can work through that. If once you identify, and bite your tongue. Really work hard to listen when you ask those questions and create the space for it. And if he doesn't come up with that first time, just say, I need you to think about it and let's come back out again, in a couple of days and talk about this some more. But have this be an ongoing conversation.
But don't let it be your only conversation, Aaron, please. Make a weekly date with your son. Go out on whatever night works for both of you and just hang out together. Go get dessert, go to a movie, and then go out afterwards. Have time and build that relationship, because at his age, he's beginning to try to figure out what it means to be a man. And you are it for him. You need to be the one that guides him through that, not in a luxury way, but in a way that allows you to build that relationship. That's going to also help figure all of this out.
Once you get some of those basic answers to the questions we posed to you, don't hesitate to reach back out to us here on More to Life or through the Catholic Home app. This is what we do every day on Catholic HOM. It stands for Households on Mission. If you become a subscriber to the Catholic Home community, we provide parent coaching for these kinds of issues and lots of other parenting issues. We have lots of creative resources to help you overcome hurdles with your kids of every age and stage. As I was announcing yesterday, we just started a new parenting of adult kids and grandparenting channel, as well as a marriage channel. So if you're interested in creating a more loving, connected, and caring Catholic family life, become a subscriber to the Catholic HOM app. That stands for Households on a Mission. Get it wherever you get your apps, and we'd love to coach you more through that, Aaron. Thank you so much for the question. And listeners, if you are dealing with conflict in any relationship in your life, we are here to help. 877-573-7825. We're going to go to break. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute. He'll be sharing some insights from the Theology of the Body on how we can approach conflict in a more grace-filled way. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Hi, I'm Angie. Did you know a billboard can save a baby's life? It's true. You can make a difference this holiday by helping us spread the pro-life message to reach those who are struggling with an unplanned pregnancy. Our billboards and ads feature our 800 hotline for help, which connects people to pro-life centers nationwide that can assist with free medical help, baby supplies, and more. Won't you join us in this season of giving? Please make a gift today. Visit prolifeacrossamerica.org. That's prolifeacrossamerica.org.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. you may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
As we approach Thanksgiving, a time to gather with loved ones, we're reminded of our responsibility to safeguard their future. Life's uncertainties can arise without warning, and without a clear legal plan, your wishes may go unfulfilled, leaving your family unprotected. At mycatholicwill.com/Ave, you can create your will at no cost for the privacy of your home. The process is straightforward. Go to mycatholicwill.com/AVE and prioritize your family's peace of mind.
You like pizza?
Me too.
And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Earthquake, as we talk about those relationships on shaky ground, especially if conflict's got us quaking. We want to help you overcome those aftershocks and restore peace. So if you are experiencing conflict with any person in your life, let us help you find resolutions to those disagreements. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute. Hey, Bill. Welcome to More to Life.
Good morning, Dr. Greg. Good morning, Lisa.
You were sharing that the Theology of the Body Institute is running a course right now on St. John Paul's book, Love and Responsibility, and there were certain insights that you wanted to pull out of that book to help us with this question about dealing gracefully with conflict.
Yeah, it's a course Dr. Christopher West is co-teaching with Jeanette Clark upstairs right now as we speak. I'm downstairs as the class is receiving. Now, this is a very rich philosophical work by Carol Wojtyła, future John Paul II, published in 1960. So my challenge is to condense this rich philosophical book into like a two-minute soundbite for you guys this morning.
Go for it, Bill.
Really, yeah, let's go. Hit the timer. There's some really beautiful gems in this book. And to boil it down in this most simplistic terms, right, he talks about the personalistic norm, that a person is an end in itself to be loved, never used. A person is a subject of holiness, not an object. I'm just thinking about that this morning, obviously, and then with your topic. Conflicts, we sometimes get into this zone where we do objectify, like, this is wrong, you're wrong, we have to move this or fix this. Where John Paul II's insights in this pre-papal book are a whole different angle. You know, we're always remembering that this person is a subject. Okay, we're trying to work through some conflict, we're trying to work through some arguments, some stuff, but at the core, I have to move with reverence around this person. And if I have an air of reverence about me, it can really humanize my passions, you know, when I start to get a little flared up about, you know, and you may be objectively right, and they may be objectively wrong. But to your point in the notes, it's not about winning the argument. It's about warming up to another heart and trying to understand. So I think this is important to always have this beautiful dance of the objective and the subjective. And at the very heart is the subjective gift of this person before you. So I'm stepping back to give a posture of reverence when it comes to conflict.
Yeah, I mean, so boiling it down, I mean, what you're really talking about here is not getting lost in the weeds, right? I mean, we get so caught up in arguing about what we think the argument is about that we forget that we're talking to a person, you know, and yeah. The needs that they have, or the wounds that they've got, or the concerns that they're expressing, and you know, our wounds and needs and concerns as well. But you know, by letting that person know, look, you know, I realize we're disagreeing with each other, but I want to be on your side, and I want us to be able to work through this together so that we can both figure out what we need and how to get there through God's grace. And if we can approach conflict that way, instead of you're the enemy and I have to force my agenda on you, then we can get a lot further. And that's really what the love and responsibility is talking about in this the idea of remembering the other person is a person and not a thing to be used or discarded or just run over.
Right. And regardless of whether we clean things up and come to a mutual agreement, if we don't, I can still be a friend and love you unconditionally. And this came to mind, the story of two Supreme Court justices, Clarence Thomas and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who died just a year or two ago. They were ideologically at the far ends of the pole from each other, but stories have come down about their very warm friendship. They sincerely enjoyed being with one another at different events or at different meetings. They had a mutual respect and love for each other, even though at an intellectual, ideological level, they were complete opposites. So I think there's something there that we can achieve a kind of communion at some level that has that love of the person at the core. I don't reject them outright just because I don't agree with them.
Yeah. Really important message, especially in today's climate. Bill, thank you so much for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about the good work and the courses that you do at the Theology of the Body Institute, where can they turn for more information?
Yeah, we'd love to have you. I'll be teaching in January a course on the writings of John Paul II on gender, marriage, and family in just a couple of months. You can go to tobinstitute.org.
tobinstitute.org. Bill Donahue, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks so much.
And we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. I mean, the things that Bill was saying are, you know, great, but not all that easy to apply.
Intellectually great. Doable? Not so much.
And if you are struggling to see how that applies to your relationship with one of your kids, whether it's a young or adult kid, your spouse, a family member, or a friend, we want to help you overcome the conflicts that are dividing you and causing tension in your life. 877-573-7825. Let's talk about finding ways to overcome those conflicts that have got you quaking. When More to Life continues after the break.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
What composes a society? The Catholic Catechism says human beings need to live in society. It is there that we develop our potential. The Catechism defines a society as a group of persons bound together by a principle of unity that goes beyond each one of them. A society endures through time. We owe loyalty to the communities that we are part of which are defined by their purpose. All social institutions, however, ought to have the human person as its principle, subject, and end. The societies of family and of state are necessary to the nature of man. Other societies, such as voluntary associations and institutions, are encouraged for economic, cultural, athletic, and professional reasons. The Church warns against certain types of socialization wherein excessive intervention of the state threatens personal freedom and initiative. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Hey men, did you know that you're called to lead couple prayer in your marriage? You might have the most amazing individual prayer life, but how is it possible to have a godly marriage if you and your wife don't submit yourselves to God in prayer on a daily basis? If you go off and pray by yourself and then tell your wife what you heard, how is that not setting yourself up as some kind of anointed oracle in your home? Yes, it's a good first step, but it's only the first step. Bring your bride to pray with you and ask God to teach you both how to love each other the way He wants you to love each other. Let her see you humbling yourself before God, and she'll give you her heart in ways you never dreamed possible. To learn more, check out my book, The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Earthquake, as we talk about those relationships that can be on shaky ground because of the conflicts that are affecting them. Are you experiencing conflict, disagreement, or tension between you and someone you care about? No matter who they are, whether the spouse, a young or adult kid, a family member, friend, we want to help you resolve those conflicts and increase the peace in your life and relationships. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jim and Karen calling in from North Carolina.
Hi, folks. What's going on?
Hi, Dr. Popchak and Lisa. I was actually listening to your show a couple weeks ago, and you gave some advice for someone who was having a problem with an adult child who had cut them off. And so that's basically the situation we're in. We have a 30-year-old seventh son who worked for us for years and years, and it came to a point in the relationship where he, you know, wasn't coming to work. He, you know, we hadn't let him go because he wasn't working anymore. And now we're the bad guys. We're horrible. And he's not letting us see our grandchildren. He's in therapy for the last few years, and ever since he's gotten into therapy, it's like, we're the bad guys. We all need therapy, too. We don't understand him. And he says the relationship can be healed after we come to terms with what he's looking for, what he needs from us. And we don't understand.
And has he told you what he needs from you, Karen?
He wants.
And have you asked?
Respect. He says he wants us to respect him.
What does that look like, practically speaking?
That's what we don't understand. We're like, can we go to your therapy with you and have a family meeting or something so you can tell us exactly what we need to do to help rebuild the relationship? Because it's like we're supposed to be mind readers and we don't get it, you know?
And what did he say? Because that was exactly what you should have offered. So what did he say to that?
Yeah, he said he talked to his therapist and he said not at this time. So, and I'm also, I'm the go-between.
Very odd.
He won't talk to his father, so he'll tell me stuff, and then I have to tell my husband, and things get lost in translation, and I finally put up my own boundary and said, listen, I can't do this anymore. It hurts me too much to try to, you know, be the middleman.
Sure.
It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
When you're ready to talk to us, we'll be here. But what hurts us is because he worked for us, he used to bring the kids to work all the time, and that was another issue. Because his wife wasn't caring for the kids, she'd take him to work with you. And so, of course, it's a family business, so he brings the kids to work. So we saw the boys all the time. They have 4 little boys. We saw two at a time most of the time. And that's what they're, you know, they're cutting off the grandchildren. And I don't know why, just because our relationship's broken, we don't have any broken relationship with their grandchildren, why would you do that to us? Like, why you have to hurt.
Well, they're a package deal. I mean,
yeah,
that's I mean, we can't. There's no such thing as a relationship with grandkids without a good relationship with the adult kids. As much as we might like that, it's just not.
Yeah,
possible.
You just it's like it's a board game. You can't jump a space. It just doesn't work. So
no, I mean, I understand why your heart's breaking about that, but you know, they are your grandchildren's parents, and so that relationship is the gateway to that.
But also, you know, as those grandchildren would grow, and if this relationship with your son continues to remain difficult, it would just end up exploding one way or the other. So the primary thing here is, really figuring out what respect means to him and trying to get into that counseling situation with him, if not with his own clinician, with somebody who can just do family therapy with all of you.
Yeah, so you might ask him, you know, if he's not willing to let you participate in his counseling, if you were working with a counselor, you might invite him to be part of that relationship or that conversation and say, you know, well, our counselor needs to help understand where you're coming from in this, and, you know, and then you invite him in that way.
Or offer to just find somebody that's just for the, you know, the three of you or the four of you if his wife is involved.
And you might say, well, why do we need counseling? He's the one with the, you know, with who's rejecting us. He's the one with the problems. And that's true. But, the, you know, on your end of it, your problem is you don't know how to build relationship with him. And that's, right. You know, we can give you some tips to get that started, but you're going to need somebody kind of on an ongoing basis to help you navigate the various hurdles and frankly traps, emotional traps that get set. And you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Because you'll go into a conversation with him thinking, okay, well, you know, this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to manage it. And all of a sudden you step in a hole that you didn't even see.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And one that he probably set there for you.
Being able to have somebody that was walking with you that could kind of coach you through those things could be helpful along the longer haul. And then you could invite him to be part of your process. Plus, that addresses his objection about you guys, quote unquote, needing counseling, you know, that at least says, well, you know, look, we're taking that to heart and we want to explore this. Now, I mean, aside from that, though, I would say to you that the most important thing would be for both of you to try to keep up some kind of at least texting relationship with him, where you keep, and you're keeping it superficial. It's just like, hey, this happened this week. I was thinking about you. I wanted you to know that I was praying for you. Or, you know, this happened with your sister or this person that we all know. I wanted to share that with you. You're keeping it chatty. You're keeping it newsy. You're keeping it superficial. And both you and your husband could text him even if he doesn't text back. Now, if he says, hey, you know, even in response to that, he says, don't text me anymore. But you need to respect that. But short of that, if you can keep that up, that lets him know that at least you want to maintain some kind of superficial relationship that you could build on. It's not the relationship that any of you want, but it's the relationship that you can start with. And as long as you've got some kind of relationship, you can always build on it. But if you don't have any communication at all, then there's an extra hurdle to, well, you know, look, my life is so peaceful now that you're not in it anymore. And just any conversation at all seems like a threat. But if we're at least talking superficially and that's safe, we can work with that, right? So I would love to see both you and your husband just at least texting, you know, chatty, superficial, friendly, newsy texts.
I know that's going to be like chewing glass some days because you are so hurt by this. And you have a right to be. You know, when somebody is saying, I want your respect, and then does not act virtuously in any way, shape, or form to gain that respect. He doesn't show up. Exactly. He doesn't show up for work. He does a lot of blaming. He manipulates through his children. And it's all about whatever's going on with him, and he's giving you no leeway in. That is really so difficult to try to choose the better part. It hurts, and I understand it completely. But it's pretty much your only way to try to establish the connection enough to be able to hopefully heal it in the future.
And if you keep up that more superficial, you know, even like you said, even texting relationship, periodically you can say, you know, hey, I was thinking a little bit more about what you said about wanting respect, and I was trying to think about this situation where I know that you said you didn't feel respected. What would it look like to have respected you in that situation from your point of view? You know, what do you wish would have happened in that situation? Right, and that could, that's going to happen more naturally if you're talking with a counselor, like I was saying before. But even if not, you know, every once in a while you could just say, well, you know, I was thinking about this, or I was praying about you and our relationship, and this came to mind, and it occurred to me that, you know, you probably didn't feel respected there, but I don't really know what it would have looked like to you to be respected. Any thoughts? Right, and you're just, you know, periodically, you're not making the whole relationship about that, but, you know, every several interactions, you throw one of these questions out there and see what he says. That lets him know that you haven't forgotten about it, that the ball's in his court, that you're interested in hearing what he has to say, you are thinking about it. He can bring that back to his counselor. That sends his counselor a message that you guys aren't, you know, are actually taking this seriously. And so that increases the likelihood that something productive will come out of all of this. But just sort of staying where you are and kind of watching, waiting for him to come around. I don't see him coming around, because adult kids in this situation, when they're in this blaming space, it's just easy for them to keep blaming and not doing. And as long as you're not reaching out, then it's just he'll just continue in that direction, and you guys will drift further and further apart. So my hope is that by doing what I'm suggesting, that keeps a little bit of the line open at least, and lets him know that you're serious about things, and that actually puts a subtle pressure on him to actually do something and give you information. Now, we talked more about this in our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. It'll walk you a little bit more step-by-step through how to reconcile with him and how to leave those doors open. You can start with the suggestions we've made here, but that book will go deeper. If you'd like to work with us to get more personalized kind of attention on how to navigate some of those pitfalls that come up, it wouldn't even necessarily even need weekly, but it would just, you know, to having somebody regular to talk to about how to overcome this next hurdle or this issue could be useful. So if you'd like to learn more about CatholicCounselors.com, go to the website and check it out there. But Jim and Karen, I want to thank you for the call. I want to thank you for your willingness to do the work to heal this relationship with your son.
It's very impressive. It really is. And I'm sorry you're getting stonewalled at this point. So painful.
And if there's more that we can do to support you through that, please don't hesitate to reach out to us either through the book, which you can also pick up at CatholicCounselors.com, or through the counseling practice at CatholicCounselors.com. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. The show today is titled Earthquake, as we talk about those times when our relationships are on shaky ground because conflict's got us quaking. We want to help you overcome the aftershocks and restore peace and stability in all of your relationships. 877-573-7825 is the number. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. It's a familiar verse, but an important one.
If you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go. First, be reconciled with your brother and then come and offer your gift.
You know, again, what this is highlighting is the fact that building the kingdom of God is primarily about healing our relationships. Now, God doesn't expect us to do that all on our own power. We can't do that. In fact, God can't do that all on his power. And you might think, well, how is that? God can do anything. Well, yes, but he also respects our free will. And if we don't want to be in relationship with him, he respects that. And so the same thing is true when somebody says, look, I just don't want to work with you on this. I don't want to reconcile. We have to respect that. But short of that, the goal is for us to do everything that we reasonably can to rebuild those relationships and heal the damage that sin has done to our relationships so that we can heal the wounded body of Christ. And this verse reminds us that that is the most important spiritual work that we can do. And that if we're not working to cooperate with God's grace, to learn to love and to heal the love that exists between us and the people in our lives, then we're really not doing what God's asked us to do as Christian disciples. So let us help you do that hard work today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. Is there somebody, your spouse, younger or adult kids, a parent, in-law, family member, friend, who you are in conflict with, who is estranged from you, or who you're experiencing tension with? You know, that person that you have to tiptoe around and you're tired of it. Or that person who always brings out the worst in you, and you're tired of that. We are here to help you resolve those conflicts and identify the next steps toward healing and peace. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after the break.
You like pizza?
Me too.
And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan.
First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I told him about the woman who came to me and said her two children hadn't spoken to each other for 2 years. Their grandma died and she was very wealthy. She left half to each one. She said they're arguing over a commode. She said it's inlaid. Can you imagine being in hell and somebody saying to you, what are you here for?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled Earthquake, as we talk about those relationships that are on shaky ground because of conflict. Are you experiencing conflict, disagreements, or tension between you and someone you care about? Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
We have an email here, Greg, from Anne, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan, and she says, my brother makes me crazy. He can be so sweet and thoughtful, gets everyone thoughtful gifts, plans wonderful things for all of the family to do together. But I've realized over the years it's really all just about him. The things to do are things he wants to do. The gifts are a way to show off. A lot of our family members don't see it and sing his praises because he's so charming. But as his sister, I can see it's clearly because I've always been there that and on the receiving end of it, and I am cleaning up the emotional mess he makes with my parents and my other siblings and my aunt and my uncle when he lets them down by not being there when they have a need, or he does something to come between two of the members of the family. People are just starting to see this, but not enough, and they just say that it's sibling rivalry on my part. I think it's really toxic and is wearing down our family. What can I do to help the family see this or to protect myself from the way he manipulates everyone? And that's Anne in Michigan.
Hi, Anne. So the answer is pretty straightforward, but a little bit tricky to actually pull off. The answer is get out of the middle. You're saying that you're cleaning up the messes that he makes with the other members of the family, and then you're getting the blame. It's because you're sticking yourself in the middle. And I know that you're trying to do a good thing, right? You want to be a peacemaker. And Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, right? But here's the thing. A peacemaker, is somebody that, well, St. Augustine said that peace is the tranquility that results from right order, right? It's not just smoothing over stuff. It's establishing the right order. So when your brother does things that let other people down, the right order is to let him experience the consequences of that.
And also, unfortunately, allowing your siblings, parents, and aunt and uncle to experience the consequence of that. If he lets them down and you swoop in and handle the situation for them, help them move, provide whatever, they're not getting a chance to see who he really is, because you are kind of coming in there as the phantom fixer and making it all right, and they never get a chance to have clarity.
And then they take the anger that they feel toward him and project it onto you.
Good point.
Because, well, you just swooped in and took care of it, and because you have to prove how good you are compared to him.
And then they're saying the sibling rivalry nonsense.
Right. And so you end up actually rewarding the very problem you're trying to prevent. And so you have a good desire here to try to, you know, to make peace in your family, but the problem is that you're the family fixer, and it never goes well for that person, unfortunately. So what I need you to do is step back. And if your brother drops the ball on something, let him drop the ball on it. If you want to come around afterward and say, "Hey, is there something I can do to help with this?" You know, then you can, but don't just swoop in and try to take care of it. Make them come to you to ask for whatever it is they might need. And if they say, "Well, no, it's fine. You stay out of it, or I just let your brother handle it," then you let him not handle it, okay? And as hard as that will be for you, that is the right thing to do. Because we have to maintain those good, healthy boundaries for relationships to be healthy and holy. Because as soon as we start swooping in, again, we muddy the waters, and we end up actually preventing the healing things that need to happen. You know, if you have a broken bone, right, and that bone starts to mend on its own without a cast or without somebody resetting it properly, it will heal, but it will heal badly, and that's what's happening here. Right, you need to be able to. You need to kind of break that bone, if you will, in this family system, to let it be reset properly, so that it can heal properly. And the approach that you're taking is preventing that from happening. So your intentions are very good, and your heart is in the right place. Unfortunately, this is what St. John Paul talks about when he referred to loving responsibly. His book, Love and Responsibility. We are called to love, to always work for the ultimate good of another person. But we're called to do it in a way that is responsive, not just reactive, not just going out of I feel bad for that person, so I'm going to go swoop in and do the thing. It's like I have to love responsibly in a way that makes sure that everybody who is responsible is doing their part so that the thing is healed correctly. Because when we allow these, if you will, these broken bones in the body of Christ to just heal incorrectly, we're not actually allowing healing to happen at all. And in fact, we end up detracting from the faith, because people will look at that situation and say, "Oh, well, you know, look how messed up those Christians are." Instead of being able to say, "Okay, look, you know, this is what I can do, and this is what I can't do. This is what you can do, and this is what you can't do, and we're going to all do our bit to make sure that we are working together to heal this relationship, to build this back up in a way that will actually work." So that's why this is really the most charitable thing to do. It's not just the psychologically healthy thing to do. It's spiritually healthy to do this as well. You're not neglecting your rest of your family. You're saying, "I'm here to help if you need me." But you're not swooping in to clean up your brother's messes and then taking the ire that they direct that they ought to have toward him. And I think that will go a long way to helping this situation be better. We talk about this more in my book, Beyond... God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's a book on boundaries. And again, it's God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's all about how to set the kind of charitable boundaries that allow you to be generous to others, but in a way that doesn't get you caught in the crossfire. And so I really encourage you to check that out as a follow-up. That's God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. You can pick that up at CatholicCounselors.com. If you'd like to learn more about our pastoral counseling and learn how we can work with you to set better boundaries in this situation and kind of overcome those emotional obstacles that kind of suck you in to that whole dynamic.
Yeah, the traps along the way.
We can help you heal those wounds that pull you in there too. So you can learn more about that and help we can help you find faithful ways to respond to all of this at CatholicCounselors.com.
It does sound like your brother is very polished in being able to manipulate and set those traps for you to fall into and to kind of snow other people into believing he's so perfect. He's probably a little bit of a narcissist, and narcissists are people that you can actually set boundaries with, but those boundaries have to be done in a particular way so they don't end up turning them against you and allows you to actually feel like you're in a healthier, safer place and a saner place with a person who is struggling with that or just enjoying it too much as a narcissist. So by all means, Anne, if we can be of any help, let us know.
Well, so as we're cutting into the last few minutes of the program, you know, the big takeaway from this whole show on conflict, right, is the idea that we want to avoid the twin temptations of either tiptoeing around conflict or approaching conflict in a way that brings out the worst in us. That our goal, and Bill Donahue was talking about this in his segment too, is to remember that even more important than our agendas or needs or concerns or wounds is that to remember that this is another person that we're talking about, and that they have hurts and they have wounds and they have needs too. So we want to make sure that we're saying, look, I'm hurting and I have things that I need from you, but I want to be on your side and I want to work this out together. So I want to understand your needs and your concerns and your wounds too, so that we can figure out how to heal this together and how we can work together to come up with a plan that will address all of our needs. Let's figure this out. And so we don't have conflict with each other. We work together to resolve the conflicts. If you'd like to learn more about how to do that, check out our resources at CatholicCounselors.com, including learning more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's pastoral telecounseling practice, where we can help you find a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.